I'm Linda, and this is class 5 of a 5-week series of classes on Meditation 101. If you haven't been to the previous classes, that's okay. You can jump right in. I did want to mention that after this week, the next series of Buddhism in a Nutshell begins. And so that's another 5-week beginner level series that delves into more of, you know, Buddhism and Buddhist philosophy. So if that interests you, then certainly come back next week, same time, same day of the week. And I forget who's teaching that one, but anyway, it's not me. but do you know Chris? Steve Hale? Okay. Yeah. So he'll be great. Keep coming back. Oh, and the book for that one, Discovering Buddhism. It's Buddhism in a Nutshell. That looks like this. And that's the book for that course. And there is this handy dandy CD in the back that takes you through some of those topics and meditations that are covered in that course. Of course, the book for this class is out there available in the bookstore as well. I think I've showed that to you guys in several other classes. And then also I did want to mention that coming up later this week is a visiting teacher. His name is Don Hendrick. And he will be here, if you pick up one of these yellow flyers on the little console right out there, he will be here starting on Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And he's going to be, and then also all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and then he'll also teach the Discovering Buddhism class on Monday night. So he'll do through the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he will be focusing on the Four Immeasurables. And the Four Immeasurables are found in the Gold Prayer Book or in the white binder in the backs of seats. And that's what we recite every Sunday morning, and you'll hear it come up. But the Four Immeasurables are four lines, basically wishing and generating positive thoughts for others. So he's going to delve into that, I guess, pretty deeply, since it's a whole weekend of teaching. Anyone and all are welcome to come to those teachings. Again, it's Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., and then all day Saturday and all day Sunday. So check it out on the yellow flyer out there if you're interested. All right, so don't forget to turn off cell phones. You'll notice I'm talking through a microphone, so these sessions are recorded and we're streaming right now so that other folks who cannot be here tonight can access these recordings either later or from home tonight. So if you have a question or we go into any kind of discussion, there may be a microphone that comes around. If you can just talk into that, and that benefits those of, you know, those who are trying to practice at home, or will access the recording later at a later date. They can hear what's going on. All of the outlines for this course are online, so if you just go to kadampa-center.org and then go to spiritual program, I think it's under, and then introductory level course. Anyway, you can find it there, and all of the handouts are there. So again, even if you haven't come to previous classes, you can access those, and all the meditations that we've done through this series are there online. Last week we talked about how to set up a meditation session, and that didn't get erased, so it's right there. There's basically four parts, if you remember. So basically the preparation is kind of getting your mind and your body ready for meditation. So to get your body ready, you come into a comfortable seated position. To get your mind ready, you might focus on one of the breathing meditations we've done. And we'll go through this several times tonight. I hope to get in at least 3 good meditations this evening. And then the next part of setting up a meditation practice is setting your motivation. So we'll set our motivation, and remember, we'll expand that out beyond ourselves to include others. And then the third part is doing the actual meditation. And then lastly, you kind of bookend the meditation practice with a dedication. So at the beginning, setting a motivation, and at the end, you're setting the dedication. And so that's up there if you're interested. Again, that's one of our handouts as well that can be accessed online. We also talked a little bit about visualization meditation, and we did a visualization meditation called Purification with Light. I'm hoping to revisit that tonight if we have time. And let's see here. And that's pretty much what we covered last week. So let's go ahead and find, we'll recap our 7-point meditation posture just to make sure we've all got that. So 7 points, I'll cover those real quick. Coming into a seated meditation, and as we go into this, we'll go into a breath meditation, a breathing meditation, and then we'll go on into a short meditation as well. So you check your legs, and you want to make sure that your legs are comfortable. If you're sitting on a cushion, you can sit in any cross-legged position or seated position that works for you. It doesn't have to be cross-legged. And ideally, you want your knees, when you're on a cushion on the floor, you want your knees lower than your hips. If you're in a chair, it's kind of the reverse of that. You want your knees a little higher than the hip creases, so it's a great idea to prop your feet up on a cushion, which I see many of you have done. So that's the legs. That's point number one in our 7-point meditation posture. Point number two is arms. So in our tradition, we turn our left palm up, right palm up, and put the right palm on top of the left palm, and then just gently touch fingertips and bring those hands right into your lap. And have your arms kind of out off to, you know, away from your side. So not squished in, but out away from your body. And this allows a bit of, you know, some flow of airflow, and kind of keeps you awake a little bit. And then the back and the spine is probably the most important part. So sitting up nice and straight. If you're on a cushion, visualize the crown of your head, that's the back of your head, lengthening up towards the ceiling. So you have a string and someone's tugging at that, pulling it up nice and tall up towards the ceiling. The back of the neck is nice and long. Spine is straight. But the shoulders are relaxed. So even though our spine's straight, we're not like this. Roll those shoulders back and down. Let those shoulders relax. If you're in a chair, you can either sit cross-legged, which I see a couple of you doing, which is my preference if I'm in a chair. But otherwise, if your feet are on the floor, you want to have the soles of the feet nice and flat, either on the floor or on a cushion. And then ideally, the back would be a little bit off of the back of the chair. So instead of slouching back when you're doing your meditation, bring that spine upward and a little forward of the back of your chair. So that's the back. And then the eyes, we've talked about a couple of different things to do with the eyes. If you want to meditate with your eyes completely closed, that's one way. This eliminates some distractions, but it does cause a bit of drowsiness. So play with that and see what works for you. The other option is to have the eyelids ever so slightly open. So there's allowing a little bit of light to come into the eyelids, and you just cast your gaze maybe 4 to 6 feet in front of you down on the floor, not really focusing on anything, but it just allowing that little bit of light to come into the eyes. This keeps you a little bit more alert. But if you find that too distracting, go ahead and close your eyes. And then the jaw and the mouth, you want to have your jaw nice and relaxed, okay? So the bottom jaw is hanging a little bit loose, but the lips are still together. And then place the tongue, the tip of the tongue, kind of right at the front of the upper palate. So this helps with like swallowing and saliva production. So just relaxing the jaw, mouth is closed, tip of the tongue is kind of resting up on the upper palate. And then lastly, point number 7 in the 7-point meditation posture is the head. So head is balanced at the tip top of the spine. Chin is slightly tucked. So again, lengthening that back of the neck. So extending out through the crown of the head, kind of visualizing the extension of the spine going all the way up to the ceiling. If you drop your head too far forward, that will bring in some drowsiness. If your head's up a little too high, that's going to bring in a little too much excitement or alertness. So find that position that works for you. Again, shoulders are relaxed. All right. And then once you've found the position that alleviates as much pain and discomfort in your body as possible, then you can kind of settle in. I like to settle in with 3 deep centering breaths, 3 or 4 or 5, whatever it takes. So these are big, deep inhales through the nose and then exhaling through the nose. Make full deep breaths. And as you do so, intentionally invite yourself, your body and your mind into this time, into this space that you've set aside for yourself, for your meditation practice, to hopefully learn and grow a little bit deeper. So really give yourself permission to be here in this time and in this space. And then allowing that natural rhythm of your breath to reestablish. And go ahead and go into one of the breathing meditations we've talked about. So that can either be counting the breaths or the 9-round breathing meditation. For me, I prefer, and again, don't let my preferences sway you, but the 9-round breathing meditation I find is quite good, especially for beginners, because it really does, not just beginners, but really anyone, it really does bring all of your awareness. There's so much going on in this breathing meditation that there's very little room, I find, for anything else, for any distractions. So I'll go through it. If this is not one you want to practice right now, go ahead and go into your own breathing meditation, either just simply watching the breath or doing the counting the breath. But the 9-round breathing meditation is an alternate nostril breath. So we're going to close off the left nostril with a finger. It's a very light close off of the nostril. And you're going to inhale through the right nostril. After that long, deep inhale, then you're going to close off that right nostril, exhale left. So you're going to inhale right, exhale left, inhale right, exhale left, inhale right, exhale left. It's 3 times in your own breath, your own time. And then you're going to switch, and you're going to close off the right nostril, inhale left, exhale right, and do that 3 times. And then you're going to drop your hand and inhale through both nostrils, and exhale through both nostrils 3 times. So go ahead and try it. Settle in, allowing your mind to come into a more peaceful, calm place, allowing yourself the opportunity to be here and to practice. If distractions come up, simply return your mind back to your breath, back to your practice. And if you're practicing the 9-round breathing, go ahead and do at least 2 full rounds of the 9-round breathing. And wherever you are now, just go ahead and allow your breath to return to its natural rhythm. Noticing how you feel, the state of your mind, if there's already been a shift. And now in the clear, calm stillness of your mind, gently begin to imagine that surrounding you are all of the people in your life. Your friends and family members you can imagine are on either side of you and maybe behind you, kind of surrounding you on the sides and behind you. Those who you may find difficult or challenging, or people maybe you don't really like very much, are seated in front of you. And then surrounding all of us are all the other various strangers, people we may not know, people we might encounter but don't really have a connection to one way or the other. And just take a moment to pay attention to all of these individuals, friends, loved ones, our more challenging, difficult people in our lives. And then those we don't really have a connection with. Feel their presence with you. Some of these people you may care deeply about. Others, you would just assume avoid. And then many, many, many others we just tend to ignore or disregard. So take a few moments to acknowledge and recognize these kinds of reactions that we have to different people in our lives. And then not forgetting all of these individuals that you've imagined around you, now take a few moments to think about your motivation, what brought you to this course, what brought you here tonight. If you've been coming to the whole session, through the whole course, think about what were your motivations for continuing with the course, for coming week after week for 5 weeks. What brought you here? What motivated you? What were your interests? What were your reasons? What are your goals for being here? Your aspirations? And then question, will the fulfillment of these goals and aspirations somehow bring benefit to others? And see if you can think about your goals, your aspirations, not just benefiting yourself, one person, but see if you can think about your aspirations in terms of bringing benefit to others. All those that you've just imagined around you, including yourself. So friends, enemies, strangers, loved ones, family. And so expand your motivation for being here tonight and completing the course out to be a benefit to all others. And now relax your visualization of all these folks around you. Just kind of let that go. And slowly dissipate and fade away. And instead imagine in the space above your head a sphere of white light. And this sphere of white light is pure, transparent, formless. You might visualize it somewhat smaller than the size of your head. And again, it's suspended in the space right above your head. So take a moment or so concentrating on the presence of this white light sphere. Try to really visualize it in your mind. And don't worry if it doesn't appear sharply. It's just enough to feel it there. And then think for a moment that this sphere of light represents all universal goodness, love, wisdom, and the fulfillment of your own highest potential. And then gradually visualize the sphere decreasing in size until it's a small, bright sphere, about an inch in diameter, so about the size of like a ping pong ball. And then the small ball of pure white light begins to descend through the top of your head, slowly, slowly making its way down to your heart center. Hold it there for a moment. But then from there it begins to expand once more, slowly spreading to fill your entire body. So your body is overflowing with pure white light. Again, representing goodness, love, wisdom. And all of the solid parts of your body begin to dissolve. Your bones, your skin, blood vessels, organs, tissue, everything becomes formless white light. Just concentrate on this experience for a moment of your body as a body of light. Imagine that all the problems, negativities, hindrances in your life have completely vanished. And you're now in a state of perfection. If anything distracting comes into mind, just dissolve it away into pure white light. And just hold this image here as long as you can.
And as you let this visualization slowly fade away, just dedicate any positive feeling, any positive states of mind to the well-being of yourself and all others and all beings everywhere. Okay, so relax your meditation, open your eyes gently, slowly, maybe take a stretch if you need to. I think last week I was talking about some of the etiquettes of being in the Gompa, and one is to not point with index fingers to the altar and the objects and hangings around us, but instead you can indicate with an open palm. That's one etiquette. Another is if you do need to stretch your legs out kind of to the side rather than pointing soles of the feet at the altar. So just little things like that. And it's just to show respect. And if you forget, don't worry. It's okay. It's fine. All right. So I'd like to hear from anyone. So how was that meditation? How did that feel? If you're meditating at home and you want to share something of how that's going, I'd love to hear about that as well. So does anyone have anything they'd like to share? How did you like that visualization meditation? Was it easy? Was it... So let's see some head shaking. Okay, good. Yeah, visualization meditations are nice. And some, I think, come easier than others, certainly. Did anyone have, you know, the opposite effect, that it was a little hard to kind of visualize this white ball of light? Or did it seem a little too, you know, I guess out there, esoteric? Yeah, Sherry.
I'll just say a word. I have a very difficult time with visualization meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I would love to hear what other people
think. Yeah. Anyone else? So a couple of you shook your head that, yeah, it was good. So what about the opposite of just being able to conjure that visualization up? Why do you think it was easy? You feel like you have a good imagination, or what is it? I don't know. Anyone? Sorry, Sherry. Yeah.
I keep hoping I'll get some tips.
I know.
Here.
Yeah. Go ahead. Here we've got. Thank you. Thanks for waiting for the microphone, too. Yeah.
There was one visualization meditation that I really enjoyed.
It's
called the mountain meditation,
mm-hmm.
where you visualize a mountain, and then you, after you visualize the mountain, as the meditation goes forward, you become the mountain.
Oh.
And then you observe the different winds and weather patterns and clouds and mm-hmm. storms that pass by, but it doesn't affect you, and those things pass.
Uh-huh. So you're still the mountain, no matter what's happening externally. Is that what it's all about?
In fact, it was her husband that did the meditation.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, and I think we'll find as you practice and do more meditations and visualizations, you find some things that may work for you and some things that don't, some things that you kind of grasp onto and things that maybe, I don't want to do that. But I would say, you know, give it time and come back and repeat some of the ones that maybe didn't feel as easy or as right, because it's nice to kind of come back to those and check them out again later on. Good. Thank you. Anyone else have anything else to share? Yeah, I think our tendency is when we find something we like, we stick with it and we keep doing that and not delve into something that is either hard or difficult. So try those difficult ones. At least give them a shot. Check them out. All right. So let's see here. Where are we going to start tonight?
We have talked a little bit about analytical meditations, and analytical meditations, remember, are those that where your mind is really active, you're working. This is not a relaxation. An analytical meditation is when you're really contemplating a topic or a question or, you know, something that maybe isn't making sense or something you want to understand better. And so in contemplating a topic, then you can gradually begin to retrain your mind as well to look at things a little differently. So one of our meditations that we've done a couple of times was transforming a negative experience into a positive one. So that's an example of an analytical meditation where we're intentionally trying to almost rewire our brains into habitualizing ourselves to look at things in a different way. And I keep using that term space, but I mean it's not really a literal sense of space, but just a way to kind of take a step back and make a conscious decision on how you're going to approach something. So analytical meditation certainly builds that in our mind streams. And as a human, we have these massive brains and minds that we can use. And we're capable of all kinds of, you know, thought from complex math or engineering or, you know, arts or, you know, all kinds of things. And one of the skills that we can tap into is we're able to discriminate things of, yes, I like that, or no, I don't like that, or that's good, or that's bad. And so, and that's, you know, in and of itself, it can actually be kind of a neutral thing until we start applying, you know, our own baggage to it of, I like that, I don't like that. And that's where it can become a positive or a negative thing. So when it's positive, it's more like, you know, we have this openness to kind of this open approach to look at things and delve into it and really get to know it. Whereas a more, you know, a negative bias of a discriminating mind would be already prejudging or having a closed mind. So there is this discriminating mind that we have, and we tend to almost develop this discriminating mind to a fault. And so, you know, at the beginning of this class just now, I had you visualize friends and loved ones as well as strangers and enemies. And that term enemy, we use it in Buddhism, but you can think of it in terms of, you know, maybe someone you don't like or someone who's challenging or someone who's frustrating or, you know, things like that rather than enemy. It doesn't have to be like a true enemy. That's a pretty harsh word. And so when we begin to use our discriminating minds to kind of judge people before we even know them, and we do this, you know, all of us, I think, do this every day. Someone walks in the room and we think, oh, I like the way she looks. I want to get to know her. She's very pretty and she seems nice. Or someone walks in and you think, oh, what are they wearing? That's not my kind of person, just based on what someone's wearing. So we do this all the time, kind of constantly. And so what's the problem with this? Well, the problem is then we are developing these negative states of mind. And in Buddhism, we call those three poisonous attitudes. And we've talked about them some in class, attachment, aversion, and then ignorance. And so attachment, of course, would be, you know, that first example. Oh, I like her. She looks nice. She's pretty or whatever. I want to be her friend. The aversion would be, I don't like what that person's wearing and their hair is weird or whatever. Or maybe it's the color of their skin. I mean, who knows? There's so many different things that we can already prejudge just when we first lay eyes on someone. And then the ignorance is more like those strangers that are out there. We don't know. We have total disregard and we don't know them and we don't maybe even care to. So it's just kind of there. So we make these like snap judgments all the time. And so again, what is the problem with that? Well, it kind of roots into, again, these negative states of mind of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. And we start this push-pull with our attachments and our aversions. And then we think, oh, well, the strangers, no problem there, whatever. That's most of the people in the world. But there is a little bit of a problem there, too, because then that ignorance comes into play. And, you know, that results in indifference or disregard and I don't care kind of attitude. So these states of mind come down to a more fundamental issue within ourselves, and that is our self-cherishing thoughts is what we term it in Buddhism. And self-cherishing is just kind of the root of all of our obstacles. So all of these obstacles we've talked about in, that come up during our meditation practice, even if it's, you know, something like laziness, again, that self-cherishing, oh, I don't want to get out of bed, oh, I really need that extra sleep, it all comes back to me, 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 and not really, you know, others and their importance. So again, this kind of central root obstacle is our self-cherishing. And so that's why it might be a benefit to kind of step back and look at that. So, and we're not going to delve into that really deeply tonight because this is our last class, but other courses certainly do. So I would encourage you to continue your practice, whether it's coming to classes here or reading or investigating things a little bit deeper. And so, let's see here. So what can we do to overcome these things? And that's going to lead us to our next big meditation for tonight. And to kind of help open our hearts to others. And, you know, we've been beginning the class with a motivation where we expand our motivation out beyond ourselves. And again, it's not necessarily a bad thing for your motivation to come to class to better yourself. That's great. That's wonderful. But then if you can expand that out, that, you know, being a better person and more kinder or more open-minded would be a benefit to others, then you can expand that out. And that's even grander. That's even better. Okay, so let's see here. I think what we're going to do now is go ahead and go into that meditation. And this one is called Equanimity. And this is a, you know, pretty big one in Buddhism. So it's going to kind of piggyback on the one we started with, where we were visualizing, again, you know, our friends and our loved ones around us, as well as, again, I'll use that term, enemy, or, you know, folks that we may have a little more difficult time with. And then, you know, the masses of people that we consider strangers and that we don't know, we may pass on the street and maybe make eye contact, or more than so likely, maybe not. So it's going to bring in all of that again tonight. So come into your seated meditation posture. Take a moment. I'm not going to go through those 7 points again, but, you know, just kind of go through it in your own time. Find, again, a place that physically works for you as best as possible. So if you are physically more comfortable in your seated position, the more successful your meditation will be. So alleviate those physical distractions as much as possible. And then decide what you want to do with your eyes. And that can change through the meditation. If you start with your eyes fully closed and then you feel like you're kind of getting drowsy or your mind is more distracted, just open your eyes slightly, or you can do the reverse as well. And then take some of those full, deep centering breaths, however many you need. Full, deep inhale. Nice, long, deep inhales. Long, deep exhales. Again, inviting yourself, your body, and your mind into this time, into this space, into this meditation. Allowing the natural rhythm of your breath to reestablish.
And then gently make your way into one of the breathing meditations. Again, you have counting the breaths, 9-round breathing, or you can just simply sit and notice your breath. You may notice right at the tips of the nostrils, the rim of the nostrils, the breath coming in, the breath going out. So whichever breathing meditation you prefer, we'll just sit quietly for the next couple or few minutes. Do this in your own time, your own breath. Wherever you are with your breathing meditation, remember if distractions come up, gently guide your mind back to your breath. Over and over again. There's no need to judge or get frustrated. When you catch yourself not focusing on your breathing meditation, that is the meditation. Catching yourself and then guiding your mind back to its object of meditation, your breath. Letting thoughts go as they arise, guide your mind back to your breath. Stay focused on your breath. And as we move into this equanimity meditation, this is an analytical meditation, so you will be using your mind to really contemplate and think about what's happening, what comes up, what thoughts arise and feelings arise. So generate a strong intention to do this equanimity meditation in order to overcome self-centeredness, self-cherishing, biases and judgments, and to develop instead a mind of perfect equanimity, balance towards others. So sit with that motivation for a moment. That you might develop a mind to see and treat others equally, without judgment. And so now in the space in front of you, you're going to imagine 3 people. So visualize someone you like and just choose one person, a friend or a loved one. And the second person is someone you dislike. Again, this could be called an enemy, someone who you may find challenging, and you prefer not to be around. And then the third person is someone you feel indifferent toward. So it could be just someone you pass in the grocery store or out on the street. So choose these three people, friend, enemy, stranger, we'll call them. And keep these three in your mind throughout this meditation. So try not to change the individuals. So go ahead and choose your three and then decide to stick with them. And you're visualizing these three in the spaces in front of you. Okay, so now first focus on your friend. And allow your feelings for that person to come up strongly. And feel your conviction that this person is definitely, truly a friend. Someone who's good to you, who fulfills your needs and wishes. Someone you may love and care for deeply. And feel how you really want this person to be happy. Identify yourself with these good feelings towards this person, this friend. And now shift your attention to the enemy, the person you may find challenging or that you dislike or is frustrating. Maybe this person is not kind to you. This person certainly does not satisfy your needs. They may annoy you, make you angry, hurts you. And look carefully at these feelings that you have about this person. What comes up? And now shift your attention to the so-called stranger, the person maybe you don't know at all or barely know, maybe you recognize, you don't really like or dislike this person. And now look carefully at this person and note perhaps your feelings of indifference, disregard, whatever. Don't really care. And now consider and recognize that the nature of your relationships with each of these three people and those labels you've put on each of them are based really solely on what they do or don't do for you at this point in time. So at this point, the friend provides the feelings that you need or want that make you feel good. The enemy does not satisfy those needs. And you're indifferent to the stranger. But now see if you can think of people who may have been your friend at one time, but then maybe became your enemy or somebody that you don't like. Or perhaps vice versa. Maybe there was someone you didn't like that ultimately became your friend. And then in regards to the strangers, the same. People you didn't know became your friend or loved one. Or an enemy. Notice that each of these labels is temporary and changeable. These situations are impermanent. It's just determined by the situation and what it is at this current time. Move your attention back to your friend or your loved one. And just imagine for a moment a situation that would cause this friendship to end. Imagine your friend turning against you. You experience resentment, anger, hurt. Now, do you still feel warm and friendly towards this person? Do you want their happiness? Do you wish them well? Where is your friend now? And then remember that this person wasn't your friend before you were even acquainted with the person. They once were a stranger. And then recognize how easily this person could cease to be your friend now, just as you've imagined. So there's no real sound reason for feeling kind and loving towards only the friend at this moment. Relationships have changed in the past. They'll continue to change. Today's friend can become tomorrow's enemy. And now move your attention to the person you imagined as your enemy or someone you have difficulties with. And with this situation, imagine one that you could be drawn together for some reason, in which you could become close. Perhaps a word of praise or kindness, a common interest. Now look at this person and your feelings toward them. Are your feelings softening? Are these feelings becoming warmer, more open? You can actually learn to feel warmly toward your enemies or those that you may not care for currently. This has happened before and will happen again. So why do we hold so strongly to the concept that this person is definitely the enemy? And now move your attention to the stranger. Imagine how one act of kindness from this person could immediately turn him or her into a friend. Or an act of anger could turn the stranger into an enemy. There is no definite stranger there. There's no sound reason for feeling indifferent to this person. Remember that your past friend, your present friend and your present enemy were once strangers to you. And maintain your awareness of these three people in front of you. And just contemplate the fragile impermanence of the relationship that you have with them. It's our belief in the concreteness of these labels, friend, enemy, stranger, that holds our minds back from the possibilities of change and fluidity. These three people, your friend, your enemy, the stranger, they all want happiness as much as you do. And in this respect, we're all equal. Additionally, everyone is equal in having the potential to develop his or her mind to the fullest extent. And to achieve ultimate clarity and compassion. We all have this potential. The differences that we see in people are superficial, based on our mistaken and narrow, self-centered views. In fact, everyone is equal in deserving our care and compassion. And this meditation, it doesn't mean that we should not discriminate at all. On a very practical level, we need to have the ability to distinguish between actions and individuals, certainly. And naturally, we feel closer to some than others. And naturally, we may need to keep our distance from others. But the point of the meditation is to develop an equal concern, an equal regard for everyone and for their well-being. And to see that the labels that we put on others are often arbitrary, mistaken, and certainly very, very changeable. And so take a moment just to dedicate anything positive that came from this meditation, dedicate it to the kindness and well-being and benefit of all others. From all of those around us in our daily lives, to folks that we do not know, and to all beings, from the tiniest little ants and mosquitoes, through all living beings. And then when you're ready, gently release the meditation. Relax, open your eyes. Take a stretch if you need to. Okay. So that was a pretty long one. How did that go? Any thoughts on that one? Were you able to kind of stay with it and see these three individuals in your mind? Is there anyone that had a hard time kind of coming up with these three very different people? Yeah, I found that challenging too. Which one? Someone you don't like? Yeah, so if there's someone that, you know, if you don't necessarily have an enemy in your life, which, you know, sometimes we don't, what were you going to say?
I had a difficult time visualizing the person that I didn't like.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's not that you had a difficult time coming up with somebody. It was like just bringing that person to mind?
Yeah.
Somebody
brings to mind, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that can be challenging, certainly. And if there's not someone in your immediate life that, you know, you find that you have trouble with, it could be someone else, you know, out in the world, whether it's a person in the news or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, that can be a challenge if there's some pretty strong aversion to the, you know, said enemy. Yeah. Anyone else want to comment as far as bringing up three individuals and then trying to expand and see them as very changeable or, you know, on kind of equal grounds? Anything come up? Yeah.
So for the person that that you like.
Uh-huh.
I chose my father, who passed away this past November.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't really apply when you said, you remember when he was not even an acquaintance.
Mm-hmm. Because you've known him your whole life.
I've known him since I was born.
Uh-huh.
And then the person you dislike,
mm-hmm,
is, I tried to really dislike them, but really what it is I don't like their ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't dislike them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have very different political views.
Right. And so that's that. Yeah. So bringing up something like that is fine. And that's why, you know, this meditation is always done with these three, again, these labels of friend, enemy, and stranger. Enemy, you know, for me, it's like, oh, somebody's like got a gun at my head or something. That would definitely be an enemy. But it could just, yeah, it could be someone that you just don't see eye to eye with or have certainly a different viewpoint on things. Sure. Because that's challenging and can be frustrating. Yeah. And as far as the loved one being your dad and, you know, having that person as a stranger. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what to say about that. Yeah. Because, you've known him all your life. Certainly. Yeah. Anything else? Do you want to say something?
Had difficulty focusing on keeping the same people in their roles. You know, get a ways into it or hearing the things that you say, and they go, you know, I think this other person would be better, and I should, I should change people.
Yeah, and that comes up a lot, and it comes up for me a lot too when I've done this meditation, and someone else is leading it, and that's why I tried to emphasize at the beginning to stick with those three people and not change them. Yeah, and just try to work around it. I mean, you know, the words that I'm using are kind of fluid. It doesn't have to necessarily fit exactly. Like in your case with your dad, you know, not ever, you know, he was once a stranger. That doesn't really fit. So those words are kind of fluid. But, yeah, so just try to stick with those three so that it's not all over the place. I mean, that's the way this meditation reads. You know, on your own, certainly try it. Switch it up. See how it goes. See how it's an analytical meditation, so analyze what's going on if you do change it up a bit. But in this particular write-up, it does emphasize to kind of stick with those three and hold them there. So, but I think also just in that same nature, it does show that these things are changeable and very fluid and impermanent. You know, even in just one meditation, we want to change it. Oh, wait, that person isn't that. I'm going to change it over here. So, so these labels that we put on things are very fluid. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share? Yeah. All right. So contemplate that, and you know, if you're doing a meditation at home on your own, I found this one to be, it's a good one, and it's one that, you know, you don't necessarily have to read or be guided through. It's one you can kind of bring up on your own with very little you know, effort, because just remember friend, enemy, stranger, and then contemplate that changeableness of those three entities. Okay. Let's see. So, yeah, that was a type of analytical meditation. And in this 5-week series, we've touched on analytical meditation. So that's certainly one type of meditation. We also talked about the other type called concentration or stabilizing meditation. So just kind of in summary, those are a couple of the different types of meditations we've talked about in class. We've talked about some of the skills that are necessary in doing a meditation. And, you know, I want to make sure and emphasize that meditating isn't emptying the mind. It's quite the opposite of that. It's really working the mind. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of practice. So, you know, if you feel like, oh, your mind is all over the place, that's really part of it. And recognizing that is a huge part of it. And then, you know, bringing the mind back to the meditation, whatever your meditation is, that really is the meditation, a huge part of the meditation. So don't beat yourself up. Meditation is not just to sit with completely blank, empty mind. That's not the nature of our mind. The nature of our mind is to be clear and knowing. So it's always, you know, bringing things in and contemplating those things. So we talked a little bit about also what meditation is and its definition, its purposes, its benefits. As far as benefits go, I do want to encourage you, if you're not already developing a home practice where you've set aside some time every day, you know, maybe have that as a goal in mind and do little meditations throughout the day, whether it's at, you know, I think I've mentioned before, I get very impatient when I'm driving, and so that's an area where I really should work on and, you know, intentionally decide, okay, today I'm going to slow down, or whatever your thing is, and just take little snippets of it. By doing that, hopefully it will build to a more structured practice. Okay, so I don't want to negate all those little practices that we can do throughout the day, but know that really building a set time
and having that space dedicated for your meditation practice. So establishing a long-term practice was part of tonight's, one of the topics we were supposed to discuss tonight. And setting a meditation practice is a priority. So, you know, we have a very limited amount of time in a day. We have 24 hours, and we're very, very, very busy in today's society here in the U.S. We're stretched really thin. I feel like all of us are, everybody. And so, you know, if there's something you want to do and accomplish, you have to eke out that time and set it as a priority. So if a meditation practice is something you want to do, you know, you almost have to, like, get it on the calendar. Like, every day I'm going to do however many minutes, you know, at this time of day. And you make it happen. You set it as a priority. Just like if you're starting, you know, an exercise program or a weight loss program or a new job or something, you know, you have to be there from here to here. So setting it as a priority and making it happen. And then, you know, I mentioned I was gone for, you know, a week in Montana or so. Well, I kind of fell off sitting on a cushion when I was gone, and I have yet to get back on it. So, you know, resetting that when you kind of fall away from it, and you know, again, with intention and coming back to it. And don't beat yourself up about it. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Bring yourself back to it when as soon as you can. So setting that as a priority if you want to do, you know, establish a long-term meditation practice. Another part or key, I guess, to maintaining a long-term practice is to maintain your enthusiasm. So, you know, if visualization meditations aren't really doing it for you, you know, try analytical. There's so many books and things out there that you can work on. You can pull up on online guided meditations. Just remember that the point of meditation is to develop these positive mind states. And so if you find yourself, you know, pulling up something online and you're falling into a negative state of mind, it's time to leave that one and find something that works better for you. Developing negative states of mind is not really what we want to accomplish in a meditation practice. So just be careful if you are pulling stuff up online. The FPMT.org website, that's Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition, if you're interested in Buddhism, has a huge amount of online resources from beginner level and way beyond. So that's a good resource if you want to go specifically with Buddhist meditations. But there's others out there if you're just interested in a non-spiritual meditation practice. And it does take work. So recognizing again that it's not a relaxation process. We're not meditating to relax. That's something else. And not to negate that, because I think that's important as well. But remember, your meditation practice, it's work. We're working our minds with intention. And so working to develop those positive states of mind, basically, and then getting rid of some of the negative states of mind. So again, acknowledge that work, and, you know, as you progress, really give yourself that pat on the back and rejoice in your efforts. And, you know, coming to the Kadampa Center, there's the Sunday morning meditation circle before the 10:30 teachings. There are other meditation opportunities as well. So just pull up the calendar online and, you know, join a group, because that also helps. You know, there's something about that human connection as well that kind of bolsters us and keeps us going. All right. And then the other thing you can contemplate, you know, is remembering the benefits of meditation. That, you know, if you have found any benefits in your meditation practice, whether it's being kinder to a loved one or perhaps your child or coworker or a more patient driver, whatever it is, you know, remembering those benefits of meditation practice that come from it, and, you know, keep returning to why you're doing it. And especially if, like me, you've kind of fallen off of it for a while, take a moment and think, okay, why do I want to get back to it? And what are the benefits? And then, you know, put aside that laziness or whatever it is and get back to it. All right. Any questions about any of the topics that we have covered thus far? We're going to finish with the purification with light meditation, and I'll add a little bit of a twist to the actual handout, and we'll take it a little step beyond. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's a meditation called Tonglen, and that's giving and receiving. And so as we do this purification with light meditation, we'll go on to expand that and kind of flip it around and give it to others instead of ourselves. All right, so come into your seated meditation posture, get comfortable, and relax your shoulders, relax your jaw, relax the space between your eyebrows, any areas that tend to hold stress in your body. Kind of bring your awareness to those areas of stress and intentionally release them. So come into your comfortable seated posture, alleviating as much discomfort or pain as you can. Remember a nice tall, straight spine, lengthening through the crown of the head, lengthening through the back of the neck. The spine is probably the most important piece of that seven-point seated posture. So really find your spine, lengthen it nice and tall. This helps your breath and any energy flowing through your body to be an act more efficiently. Recall your motivation for being here tonight, or perhaps for attending this entire course. You might recall that you're meditating not just for your own benefit, but you're taking this time now that you've set aside tonight to develop your mind, to perhaps become a more peaceful, wiser individual, and therefore more easily able to be of benefit to others. Take a moment to focus on your breath. And as you do so, invite your mind and your body into this space, into this meditation. As you exhale, imagine all your negative energy, past mistakes, misconceptions, disturbed emotions, anger, frustration, anything negative. These negative emotions leave your body with your breath in the form of black smoke. Send it out into space. It'll just dissipate into nothingness. So it doesn't affect anyone else. So on every exhale, visualize all the negativities is leaving your body, leaving your mind, and disappearing completely. Visualize this repeatedly. Breathe out negativities again and again in the form of black smoke. And as you inhale, imagine all the positive energy coming into your body in the form of pure, radiant, white light. Visualize the light flowing through your entire body. It's like just completely enveloping you, engulfing you, taking over your body. Full of positive energy, full of wisdom, compassion, patience, kindness. Exhale out negativities in the form of the black smoke. inhale all the positive energy in the form of bright, white, radiant light. And continue with this for a moment. And really feel confident that with every exhale, you're gradually freeing yourself from negativities and faults, sickness, pain, illness, whatever it is. And with each in-breath, feel all the positive energy just taking over. Your body, your mind. If you're distracted by feelings or emotions or sensations or sounds, just observe those, let them go. Bring your mind back to the meditation. Let those distractions also just transform into that black smoke and send it out into oblivion. Inhale, pure white, radiant light. Inhale, positive. Kindness, patience, wisdom. Exhale negativities in the form of black smoke. Let it go. And now just let that kind of go for a moment. We're going to shift gears. And I'll ask you to call to mind an individual. It's easiest if you call to mind a loved one, but it doesn't have to be. You can start that way and see how it goes. And this time, when you inhale, think of this individual. Any pain, any suffering, any negative emotions, any negative things that this person may be going through. And as you inhale, you're going to inhale all of that negativity and take it away from them. You're going to take that on in the form of that black smoke, but it doesn't affect you. Remember, this is, you're doing this with your mind. You breathe in on your inhale all the negativities from this person. Pain, suffering, hard times. Breathe it in through the form of black smoke, and then that black smoke is just going to dissipate again into nothingness. Let it go. And then on your exhale, now send that person pure white radiant light. Let it just fully engulf them, envelop them, just take over. Send all that positive energy to the person you're imagining. It fills them up. And they become this radiant white light ball of positive, free of suffering, free of negative emotions. So continue with this in your own time, your own breath, inhaling all the negativities. Take it away from the person. Send them pure love, white light, healing energy. feeling strongly the wish or the desire to remove any unhappiness, any anger, any pain, any suffering from the individual you've recalled. And then granting them this freedom from all of that. And wishing them only the love, the peace, the happiness, and freedom from suffering. And this evening I had suggested you might come call to mind a loved one or a friend, but you can also decide to do this on an enemy or a stranger. Again, that enemy, someone you may have challenges with. And so even though it may be someone you'd rather avoid, you can still send them the freedom from suffering. So that's something to try. And as we come to the close of this session and this course, just take a moment to dedicate positive motivations we generated at the beginning of class and over the course. Think about all the positive energy, all the insights you may have learned during the class or the course, and dedicate it out to others. May those insights grow within us. May they also grow within other living beings. May that positive energy ripen in such a way that anyone who is unhappy, who is suffering, who is experiencing anxiety might become happy and experience joy in their lives instead. May those who are suffering from poverty find wealth. May those who are suffering from hunger find food. May those who are suffering from thirst have delicious drinks. May those who are cold be warmed. And those who are too hot be cool by refreshing rains. May all living beings everywhere experience only love and compassion in their hearts for others and never anger or hatred. May each of us develop all of our qualities and overcome all of our flaws, developing the inner power to make all these wishes come about and to bring happiness and well-being to all living beings everywhere. And take a moment to generate any of your own dedications. And expand those out far-reaching as you can. Okay. So that does bring us to the end of tonight's class, the end of the five-week session. I hope that you'll continue delving into meditation on your own. And, of course, the Kanapa Center is here. Feel free to come back. Buddhism in a Nutshell starts next week, next Tuesday at 7, from 7 to 8:30. There's Sunday teachings, and then, of course, we have our visiting teacher coming starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that visiting teacher, again, is going to teach on the four immeasurables. And so that's basically like, may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. And may all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. So those four stanzas, those four lines called the four immeasurables, are what the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday teachings are going to be on. So it kind of ties into what we kind of wrapped up with tonight. So no experience necessary. Come join us. All right, you guys, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being here with you. Thank you so much. Thanks. And I am around if you have any questions. Yeah. Thanks.